Welcome everybody to the podcast about Nelson Mandela. In this podcast, I will discuss the life of Nelson Mandela, the first black South African president who came to power after apartheid. I've invited my friends Lesedi and Buembia to participate in the discussion. Lesedi is from South Africa and Buembia is from Zambia. And both of them I've met in South Africa whilst I was on exchange in Pretoria. First, I will introduce Mandela, after which we will focus on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and contemporary implications thereof. Doing so, we will also touch upon the current opposition party leader, Julius Malema of the EFF, who is rising in popularity. So Mandela was born in 1918 and he passed away 7 years ago in 2013. While he was studying at the university, he became already involved in politics and anti-colonial movements and anti-apartheid movements. Then in 1962 he was imprisoned by the government for conspiracy against the state. In 1990, after revolts against the apartheid regime, he was released. 4 years later, he won the first democratic elections of South Africa. So now I'd like to invite Lesedi and Buembia. The thing, what I found interesting, because also when I was in South Africa, where I know you guys from, it's that the perception of Mandela in the Netherlands is very, very, very positive. And I maybe even a little bit romanticized in a way. And when I came to South Africa, when I spoke with people about this, and also when I went to a museum, for example, the Apartheid Museum, I came to realize that the discussion around Mandela, or at least also the person Mandela himself, was much more complicated. Lesedi, would you like to comment on this?
Yes, just to add on, I just want to say, I think the reason why the view of Nelson Mandela is so romanticized overseas is because the whole apartheid system or era is romanticized. Mm-hmm. So, like, people see it, I don't know, it's very filtered out. Like, if you ask someone overseas, they don't really understand, like, what really went on, like, the nitty-gritty things that happened. It was bloody, it was dangerous, it was violent, a very violent era. Mm-hmm. And it's very, like, you don't get that image when you're overseas. But obviously, for the people who live in South Africa, and we've, people have experienced it, our grandparents have experienced it, so we understand.
Buembia, I've prepared a specific question because together we talked quite sometimes we talked about Christianity, and the notion reconciliation is from a Christian background. So could you maybe explain, how do you understand the notion of reconciliation?
Okay, so look at this. There's two sides to this, really. First of all, the first side is obviously one that is pro-Christian, and when you look at what Mandela did, he, after being in prison for 27 years, he comes out, he stays in power for very few years, and then he hands it over to another person. And then he also preaches the message of love and reconciliation, to say we are one people. You know, let's move on, let's put the past behind. Yes, it is a very Christian and nice thing to do, I think, because it brings in, you know, there's peace and you try to stay together. As much as that is good, there's also this other view, which, as much as Christianity is great and it's popular in Africa, but there's many people who have a different view of first of all, how Christianity came to Africa. And in a way, if you look at this, let's say, for example, Robin, you offend me, right? Mm-hmm. You come to my house, you break my stuff, you break my property, and then the following day, I don't have to do anything to you, okay? I don't even take you to court because I'm a Christian, okay? So in a way, it's more like someone stole from you and they went away with it scot-free. You mm-hmm. understand? Mm-hmm. Because you invoke Christianity, you are like, no, we are believers, and because we're believers, we're not going to hurt these people. We're going to leave vengeance for God. That's a very popular phrase in Christianity. The mm-hmm. Lord will avenge on your behalf, or the Lord forgives, so we are to forgive as well. So in a way, some people will look at it and be like, yeah, it brought about peace. But again, it's more like letting your oppressors go without actually paying their dues. So this is my point in summary. Reconciliation has two sides to it.
Yeah.
You can be like, yeah, good thing, it's a Christian thing to do. But again, some people may look at it as exploitation. Refer to the example I gave you. You come into my house, you break my stuff, I let you go because I'm a believer. Mm-hmm. So that is my view on the reconciliation matter.
If I look at the South African politics of today, there's Julius Malema, who is from the opposition party Economic Freedom Fighters. I looked up some videos on YouTube of him, and he is very respectful towards Mandela. He says, Mandela did a very great job, but one thing he could have done better, and then he refers to the land appropriation. So I think he is amongst the people that say Mandela needed to be more radical. Lesedi, do you understand the point that Julius Malema has?
It is a difficult question.
Mm-hmm. Because
on one hand, what Mandela did with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, it really did help us get things kick-started after apartheid. Mm-hmm. And it helped us kind of move on as a nation. Mm-hmm. But now, again, it's like a broken glass, like trying to patch it up with, I don't know, a plaster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So not gonna hold for long, the Truth and Reconciliation. It won't hold for long, because now, like, as time goes on, we keep getting faced with the injustices of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So the glass is shattering, and now it makes sense that Malema would say okay so most of his followers believe that Mandela was a sellout and that he compromised too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when rewriting the constitution, there were no there was nothing in it about, you know, like addressing like the issues of the land and of the economy and things like that. So like, yeah, so Malema, I think, believes he respects Mandela, yes, but he think he believes that Mandela was not pro-black enough. I think he was just trying to like maintain the peace at that time. But now, again, the glass is shattering again. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think more people are starting to see agree more with Malema, because there is so much inequality and injustice, and it's not enough to just reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be some type of like reprimanding for people who have done wrong, or the people, the oppressors, basically.
Yeah. In response to Lesedi, because you made a metaphor you used with the broken glass, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
So, always when people refer to or use such a metaphor, I have to think of the Japanese art. It's called kintsugi. I don't know if I pronounce it in the correct way. It means golden repair or golden joinery. And it's a Japanese art. in which they on purpose break a glass or a pot, and then they repair it using gold. Oh, you know it?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I thought of that. Do you think we can extend your metaphor with kintsugi and apply this on South Africa in a metaphorical manner?
Yes, I think so. But with the Japanese method, mm-hmm. it kind of stays together. I feel like we have used, a less stronger way to hold the glass together, everything together.
I think it
but
also.
It was necessary to do so at that time. It's just that right now, in the current situation, you can't just keep trying to put broken pieces together. We need to now get the gold. Like, you understand? Like, fix it with the gold and not like the bad material we were using it before.
Okay. That's you go one step further, so to say.
Yes.
You just don't use the pot anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting viewpoint. I really like that one. I think that with this nice comment, we can end the podcast. I would like to thank all the listeners very much for paying attention. I really hope that you've enjoyed it, and I wish you a very pleasant day.